This segment is brought to you by Sector Spider ETFs. Visit them on the web at sectorspiders.com or call 866-SECTOR-ETF.
You're listening to the Index Investing Show. This is America's only weekly program focused on the important stock and bond indexes and the financial products that track them.
And now presenting your host,
Ron DeLegge. Ron DeLegge.
Coming up on today's program, Portfolio School, put things where they belong. Also coming up, what's better, a covered call option strategy that uses covered call funds, or should you just sell covered calls on your own? That's a question that I will answer on today's program. And if you'd like to join us to talk about anything on your mind regarding your portfolio, your investments, a specific stock, mutual fund, ETF, 844-305-7800 is the number. At Index Show is my Twitter handle. You can tweet the program. We are here. And you can also follow us. And so, you know, we've been doing this program now for 10 years. Can you believe it? 10 years. They've just blown by so fast. And, you know, the whole purpose of this program is to teach you the birds and the bees of investing and to help you have an investment philosophy that puts you first, because that's what it's all about. It's about putting you first, helping you reach your financial goals with the least amount of fees, the least amount of taxes. And you do that, and guess what's going to happen? Your performance, if you allocate your money correctly, should line up with your goals. So this is what it's all about, and over the years, I've added things to the show in order to enhance and help you understand how to do this, how to build an investment portfolio, how to manage an investment portfolio. And among those things, one of my biggest inventions and biggest developments over this past 10 years, really an epiphany, has been the Portfolio Report Card, which I invented in 2010. And it took me a couple years to really figure out the Portfolio Report Card, how I would use it, really to help people. The first couple of years in its early stages of development, it wasn't really, I have to admit, it wasn't something that I really used correctly, I should say. And it took me a while to kind of figure out, well, how do I correctly apply this to help people? And, you know, the reason I didn't apply it correctly is because it was still in development phase. Well, the Portfolio Report Card, I can tell you right now, is no longer in development phase. It is a full-fledged public service that I offer to all of our listeners, where I will analyze and evaluate and grade your investment portfolio and tell you exactly the strengths and the weaknesses of your money and whether your portfolio passes or fails. So on today's show, I want to explain to you what the grading system means. So we have a grading system from A, B, C, D, and F, and I want to explain what the grades mean, because I know there's some of you out there wondering, well, what do these grades mean? What does an A mean? What does a B mean? And how does that differ from a C, D, and an F? So I'm going to explain that on today's show. Again, if you'd like to join us, at Index Show is my Twitter handle. Feel free to tweet us. We're here. Now, I want to explain to you real quick here some latest ETF news. Direction Investments just launched its first currency hedged 2X, that's daily double leveraged, ETFs. Now, currency hedged funds, so what these kind of funds attempt to do is to offer exposure to an equity market in a certain country, X or minus exposure to that local currency. So these two ETFs, that's the Direction Daily MSCI Europe Currency Hedged Bull 2X Shares, that's ticker symbol HEGE, again, HEGE is the ticker symbol, offers exposure, bullish exposure to European stocks minus exposure to the euro, the euro dollar. Well, it's really not euro dollar, it's just euro, okay? So if you're bullish on European equities, but you're not bullish on the euro, well, this is the fund to own, H-E-G-E. And again, that's the bullish version. And conversely, I'm not conversely, but its cousin, you might say, is H-E-G-J, which does the same thing. This is the direction daily MSCI Japan currency hedge bull 2X shares. Same concept in that it offers exposure, bullish exposure to Japanese stocks minus exposure to the Japanese yen. And again, both of these funds use double or 200% daily leverage. That means they attempt to go up twice the amount of the underlying index. So if the index is up, for example, 1% in a given day, these two ETFs should be up 2%. And of course, the opposite also applies. So those two new ETFs from Direction, those of you that have been investing in some of these currency hedged funds and you're still bullish on some of these areas, but you don't want to have exposure to those local currencies, this is a good way to play that. Also, I want to get into this question that was sent to me, and we'll talk about this a little bit more in the next segment, about covered calls. And this is a question that I think we talked about on the show several months ago, but it has come up once again. And the question is, what's better, buying a covered call fund or just selling covered calls on your own? That's a good question, and I will have a very clear and precise answer on that question. We're also going to talk about portfolio school. You know, we talk a lot about building investment portfolios on this show, and on today's program, I want to just discuss in a little bit more detail where things belong, because sometimes I wonder about some of the portfolios that I see on this program, some of the portfolios that I analyze and grade. I see a lot of assets, a lot of investments in places where they don't belong. And so I want to explain to you why it's so important. It's so vital to put things where they belong. You know, don't put the toaster in the garage. Not a good place, not a very convenient place if you want to toast your bagel, right? You keep the toaster in the kitchen. And it's the same way with your investments. You just have to keep certain types of assets in their proper place, in the proper location, so as to have an organized approach as you reach your investment goals. Let's get you caught up real quick here on what's happening in major market indexes across the entire globe, beginning with the U.S. market. These figures, by the way, are through the market close of June 12th. And let's begin again with the U.S. total U.S. stock market, which encompasses large, mid, and small company stocks. Ticker symbol VTI, which follows this area, up almost 3.5% since the beginning of the year. Ticker symbol BND, which follows total U.S. bond market, pretty much flat on the year, down almost about 0.5%, but I consider that pretty much flat, not doing much in terms of bonds. And now I know over the past several months, bond yields, especially we've seen this with the longer-term, longer duration dated bonds, those have really taken a hit. Obviously, they're more sensitive in any changes to interest rates versus shorter-term or shorter-duration bonds. But total U.S. bond market, not doing much. How about gold? Ticker symbol GLD, down about 0.25% on the year. That's been dead money. And we'll get you caught up on some of the other key asset classes, including sectors, in just a bit. You're listening to the Index Investing Show. I'll be right back. just discussing what's going on with the global markets. Already told you, U.S. total U.S. stock market ahead by almost 3.5% on the year. Some of the other areas that have been outstanding performers globally since the beginning of the year, international stocks from developed countries ahead by almost 9%. VEA tracks stocks from places like United Kingdom and Australia, as well as Japan. And that has actually really been lifting international stocks has been Asia, especially Chinese, Japanese stocks. That particular area is really the hot performer so far in 2015. VWO tracks emerging market stocks ahead by 4% on the year. And then one last area, REET, which follows global real estate, down 2.5% on the year. And we are seeing a little bit of a taper off in there in performance. Of course, this has been a great area over the past several years. Global real estate, really, since the financial crisis of 2008, has been a really good performer. And the property market, still in many, many cities. And when we talk about this, we're not just referring to residential property, but we're also talking about office properties and industrial properties, but the properties or areas or regions across the country are still, as well as the globe, are still at very elevated levels, especially in certain cities like New York and London and Hong Kong, Tokyo. I mean, just out of control prices. So anyway, that's what's going on there. We'll get you caught up on what's happening with some of the other industry sectors within the S&P 500 and help you understand the move behind the broader market, because sectors do impact performance. And that's really an explanation, too, of what is really doing well and what's not. So you can help you understand what's going on with the market, as well as position your money to grow. Again, 844-305-7800 is the number. At Index Show is my Twitter handle. If you want to tweet us, we're here. If you'd like to get a portfolio report card where I analyze and grade your portfolio, I've already done this on $100 million. We just surpassed that over the past month. $100 million in portfolios that Ron DeLegge has analyzed and graded. And many of the portfolios have been IRAs, some have been family trust accounts, some have been joint brokerage accounts, some have been UGMA accounts, some have been Roth IRAs, others 401ks, others 403bs, others 457 plans. What I'm trying to say to you is that it doesn't really matter if your money is taxable, tax deferred. If it's an investment account and you've got money in it, I will analyze and grade it. If you're suspicious or not sure if your financial advisor is really doing you right, if you're questioning those fees that you're paying, if you're not sure, well, take my Portfolio Report Card Challenge. All you got to do is go to PortfolioReportCard.com and get in touch with me. By the way, if you get an A, I pay you $100. That's my challenge to everyone that listens to this show. Now, we're also going to explain to you on today's program what the grades mean. So what does an A mean? What does a B mean? What does a C mean? D, F, on and on. I'm going to explain all of that. So stay tuned for that. Let's get into this question. This comes to us from a listener by the name of Stan in Tucson, Arizona. Dear Ron, what's better, buying a covered call mutual fund or selling the covered calls on my own? Well, this is a very good question. First of all, for our listeners, selling covered calls is a popular investment technique that is used by people that want to have high income or cash flow as their primary goal. So the investor is covered because they own the underlying security. That could be a stock. It could also be an ETF inside their portfolio. And by selling a covered call, the investor is collecting a premium, which is income, from the sale, and effectively caps or limits any potential gains in the underlying security at the strike price of the call option that they sold. So that's what it means, in very trying to simplify this as much as possible, explaining covered calls. Now, again, the whole concept of selling covered calls, the whole idea behind this is to generate high income. That's the whole purpose of this. And Stan, people that would buy a covered call fund, from what I've seen, are people that don't understand or can't execute the covered call strategy on their own, or they simply don't have the time to do it, or they don't have the approval in their brokerage account to do it. So those are the kinds of people that would buy a covered call fund. Conversely, the people that wouldn't buy a covered call fund are the people that would do this on their own, that would sell a covered call because they conceptually understand how it works. It's not a very complicated strategy. And I always like to say the easiest way to learn how to do this is to do it. That's the easiest way to learn. Just do it on one stock or one ETF. A very small amount in your portfolio. That's the way I learned how to do it, not by reading long books and prospectuses about it. Of course, you have to do that. You have to educate yourself a little bit. That's very important. But beyond that, after you have that basic understanding or basic knowledge, then you go out and do it at a very small scale, and then you can understand how the process works. But again, this is really a matter of philosophy. So what's better? Is it better to buy the covered call funds, or is it better to just sell the covered call on your own? My answer to that question, very simply, is it depends what type of investor you are. If you just can't get around to understanding it or learning it and actually doing it, then go ahead. Buy the covered call fund. One of the ETFs that does this, by the way, PBP, currently has a 12-month yield of around 4.8%, yet 15% of that yield is being eaten by the expense ratio. So that, when you add that all up, 4.8% minus a 0.75% expense ratio, you're looking at a 12-month yield of about 4%. You can, in my view, do a lot better in terms of generating income by selling the covered calls yourself on a particular ETF or individual stock. That's basically how it works. And the next question becomes, well, where do I do this? Are there any ETFs? Which one should I sell those covered calls on? Which stocks? You know, how do I begin to do this? Well, one of the things that I do at ETFguide.com is we have a monthly income mix ETF portfolio where we do this every single month like clockwork. We don't do any market timing or anything like that. Just a simply once a month sell covered calls on a all ETF portfolio with a hypothetical $100,000 value. We've done this exercise every single month since February of 2012, and we've generated over $30,000 of monthly income in this portfolio, averaging around $700 to $800 a month. And that's a heck of a lot if you work out and calculate the yield better than what you would get in a covered call fund from a yield perspective. Time for a break. I'm Ron DeLegge, and I'll be right back.
The Index Investing Show with Ron DeLegge.
Are you frustrated with how your investments never seem to grow? Do you feel like your investment plan might be off track? Are you concerned about your portfolio's fees, taxes, and risk? If you answered yes to any of these questions, you're not alone. Get the help you need with Ron DeLegge's free portfolio report card. Get a snapshot of your current investments and find out if your financial plan is really on track. Go to ETFguide.com and click on Ron's portfolio report card. Millions of people are investing blindly in the stock market. Don't be one of them. Ron DeLegge's free portfolio report card tells you everything you need to know about your portfolio's fees, taxes, and risk. Go to ETFguide.com and click on Ron's portfolio report card. Traditional IRA, Roth IRA, 401k plan, or brokerage account. It doesn't matter what you have. Ron's free portfolio report card will tell you everything you need to know. Go to ETFguide.com and click on Ron's portfolio report card. Don't invest without it.
All right. Welcome back from the break. You're listening to the Index Investing Show. I'm your host, Ron DeLegge. We're here every single week at this same hour. If for whatever reason you miss this broadcast, you can pick up the podcast. It's available at iTunes. Just search for us under the Index Investing Show. You can also find us at SoundCloud. I also post all of our podcasts on our Twitter feed. At Index Show is the Twitter handle. Do follow us. You can tweet the program. If you've got any questions about a particular stock, ETF, or mutual fund that you own, you can call the program, 844-305-7800. You can also get a portfolio report card where I analyze and grade your investments. Just go to portfolioreportcard.com. Let's get you caught up on what's happening with some of the major sectors within the stock market. Now, there are nine ETFs. They're the sector spider ETFs that divide the S&P 500 into nine industry sectors. And the whole idea there is to customize. Well, one of the objectives, one of the ideas is you can customize your exposure to the S&P 500. You don't necessarily have to buy the whole thing. I mean, there are certain sectors that do better than others, and you may have a preference. You may want to overweight a certain industry sector and underweight another. So that's one of the benefits of the Sector Spider ETFs. And let's just give you a quick recap what's happening thus far in 2015. Some of the worst performers since the beginning of the year have been utilities, XLU down around 9%, as well as energy, XLE down just over 2%. So those two industry sectors are very, very weak performers. In terms of some of the sectors that are performing rather well, XLV, which tracks healthcare stocks, ahead by 9%, and that's really been and continues to be an outstanding performer. As well as technology has been another good area. XLK ahead by almost 4% on the year. So those have been two areas that have been really shining. And then as far as the two consumer sectors, and there are the consumer discretionary, XLP, and then XLY, actually Staples. Staples is XLP and XLY. Those two sectors have also been pretty good performers. Actually, XLY, discretionary, has been the good performer. XLY ahead by 6.5%. XLP, which is the more defensive sector, is flat on the year, and that one has not been a good performer, at least since the beginning of the year. And again, that's kind of your sector wrap. And if you'd like to get more information on any of these ETFs, you can just go to sectorspider.com and you can see a breakdown of all the holdings as well as dividend yield and so forth. 844-305-7800, that's the number. At Index Show is my Twitter handle. Want to talk about portfolio school, going back to school, putting things where they belong. You know, people do the darnest of things. For example, they put their investments in places where they absolutely don't belong. And this is a common problem, by the way, suffered not just by retail investors, but by experienced professionals who are hired to advise them. In each case, there's a poor understanding about the basic elements of a well-built portfolio. Now, in very extreme cases, there may be some knowledge of the basic elements of a well-built portfolio, but the problem is there's an undisciplined framework, there's a lack of will, or there's a perverted investment philosophy that prevents proper execution. Now, there are three elements of a well-built portfolio. Those three elements are the core of your portfolio, which is your foundation, the non-core part of your portfolio, which can be your tactical money, and then there's your margin of safety, which is your risk-free money, money you cannot afford to lose. So the problem is putting things where they don't belong. When you take a non-core asset, something like an individual stock or a currency or a collectible or a derivative like a call option or a put option, when you take something like a private equity fund or venture capital, these are all non-core assets. And when it's permitted to become, or it already is becoming, the largest asset within a person's investment portfolio or a substantial part of that portfolio, you know what happens? That investor has misplaced that asset, that non-core asset, by putting it in a place where it shouldn't be, by making it a core part of their portfolio. And that's wrong. That is the wrong way to construct a portfolio. And I've seen this time and time again with the portfolio report cards I've done. I mean, that largest portfolio that I've ever graded, that 27 or $28 million portfolio that I graded earlier a couple months ago, this was exactly the problem that this particular person was suffering from. They took a non-core asset, individual stocks, that's where the bulk of their assets were being invested, and they took a non-core asset and converted it, they turned it into the core part of their portfolio. Remember, the core part of your portfolio is your foundation. That should always be the biggest part of the portfolio, and the core is divided across the five major asset classes: stocks, bonds, real estate, commodities, and cash. And when I say stocks, I'm not talking individual stocks. The investment vehicles you should be using to get your exposure to stocks in your core portfolio should not be individual stocks. It should be diversified, broad, accurate proxies of the asset class. So an individual stock cannot serve that purpose. An individual stock cannot be a proxy for the entire market. Never can be. Never will be. An individual stock is not broadly diversified. An individual stock cannot serve that purpose. And when you try to do that in a portfolio, that's when you begin to flunk portfolio school. That's when you put things where they don't belong. And this is stuff that you just wouldn't do in normal day life. You wouldn't wear snow boots to the beach. It makes no sense. Conversely, you wouldn't wear a bikini if you're taking a trip to the Arctic. It makes no sense. You're putting things where they don't belong. And so in this case, it's the same with your investment portfolio. Don't take non-core assets and make them the core of your portfolio. This is, I would say, one of the top three common mistakes that I see in investment portfolios that I analyze and grade. People taking non-core assets and making them the core of their portfolio. And again, This is a question. This is a problem that isn't just suffered by amateur investors. This is a problem that's experienced by professional investors with many, many years of experience. And in each case, there's a common thread. There's a poor understanding about the basic elements of what is required to build a well-built, architecturally sound investment portfolio. Time for us to take another break. You're listening to the Index Investing Show. I'm Ron DeLegge, and I'll be right back. Go nowhere!
The Index Investing Show with Ron DeLegge.
The break, and you know, just to clarify, earlier we talked about the two sectors within the S&P 500. Those are the two consumer sectors: consumer discretionary, ticker symbol XLY, and then we've got consumer staples, ticker symbol XLP. I think I just want to explain real quick just the quick differences between those two sectors, because I think it's rather important that you understand. Consumer discretionary, XLY, invests in industries, stocks from companies that are automakers, as well as hotels, restaurants, leisure, media companies, things like that. Some of the top holdings in XLY include McDonald's and Walt Disney, Comcast. So that's XLY, represents around 12.5%. of the overall S&P 500's sector representation. Now, that's, again, consumer discretionary, known as the more aggressive or offensive of the two sectors, whereas XLP, consumer staples, is the more defensive sector. This XLP invests in primarily stocks that are consumer product, food, as well as drug retailers, beverage makers, food products, household products, personal products, and some of the stocks inside XLP include Coca-Cola, as well as Procter & Gamble and Walmart. So a big difference between XLP and XLY. And as I stated at the outset, thus far in 2015, it's been the offensive sector, XLY, that's been outperforming the more defensive sector, XLP, with XLY ahead by 6.5% on the year, and XLP pretty much flat. 844-305-7800, that's the number. At Index Show is my Twitter handle. You're listening to the Index Investing Show. I'm your host, Ron DeLegge. If you'd like to get a portfolio report card while I analyze and grade your portfolio, I'll be happy to do that. Just go to PortfolioReportCard.com. The Portfolio Report Card is free. It doesn't cost you anything. If you get an A, I pay you $100. And it will tell you very quickly if your portfolio is architecturally sound, if it's well built, if it's doing its job in terms of helping you reach your goals, and if it's age appropriate, if it's risk appropriate, and if it's fully diversified, and if it's got keeping costs as well as taxes at a minimal. So these are all things that you'll learn when you get a portfolio report card. And plus two, you'll get a chance at winning $100. And let's see how good your portfolio really is. Go to PortfolioReportCard.com. Now, I've already analyzed and graded more than $100 million in portfolios. And each portfolio is a real-life portfolio. I don't grade, I don't diagnose hypothetical portfolios. I only do this on real life money. So if you try to send me a portfolio that you've constructed that is not based on reality or real life money, I'm not gonna grade it, because it's I don't. The report card was built for real life money and real life people. So that's those are the rules. Those are the guidelines for executing portfolio report cards. But in terms of understanding what each grade means, because there is a difference between grades. I mean, A is the best, F is the worst. And I think it behooves me to just briefly explain to our listeners what each grading what each grade means, and because I think it'll help you understand the differences between what a well-built portfolio is versus what's not. So let's begin with the top, cream of the crop, an A, which is a superior grade. And investment portfolios that score an A are like a perfectly pitched baseball game and are extremely rare. A portfolio that scores an A on Rhonda Legge's portfolio report card has market exposure to all the major asset classes, and there are five: stocks, bonds, commodities, real estate, and cash. Portfolios that have an A are deliberately minimizing the negative impact of both investment cost and taxes. The portfolio's risk profile perfectly matches the investor, and the one-year performance result will exceed or closely match a similar portfolio or benchmark of passive market index ETFs. Now, any portfolio that scores an A requires absolutely no immediate changes or adjustments. End of story. That's an A. It's like winning the World Series, winning the Super Bowl. That's what it is. And if you get an A, I pay you $100. So that's a very good score. That's an understatement. That's the best you can do. It's not very good. It's the best. Now, the next best is a B, which is an excellent score. It's not superior like an A, but it's excellent. Investment portfolios that score a B are generally well-designed, and any deficiencies in cost, diversification, risk, tax efficiency, performance are minor. And the one-year performance result of a investment portfolio that gets a B will exceed or closely match a similar portfolio of index ETFs, okay? Identifying the positive aspects or attributes of a B-rated portfolio will not be difficult. There probably will be more than one or two positive attributes or aspects. And any portfolio that scores a B will require only minor modifications or adjustments. So a B is an excellent score, and we've had a lot of Bs on this program. A C is a weak grade, and a C portfolio that scores a C generally are not well designed, and any deficiencies in the portfolio in terms of minimizing cost, maximizing diversification, having a risk level that is in tune or in line with the owner, tax efficiency and performance, all these things, these five grading categories that I use on the report card, a C-graded portfolio will have significant problems in these grading categories. Also, the one-year performance of a C-graded portfolio will be less compared to a similar portfolio of index ETFs. And as a result, a C portfolio will require major changes, major adjustments, if it's going to get back on track. So those are the first three grades, A, B, and C. If you're just joining us, I'm Rhonda Legge, and I'm explaining to you what the grading process means, the portfolio report cards that I execute, the actual grades, A, B, C, D, and F. So we just explained to you A, B, and C. Now let's explain to you the worst, D and F. So what happens when a portfolio, why does a portfolio that get a D, what does that mean? Well, that's a poor grade. Investments that portfolios that get a D have major flaws and in most of the grading categories. And again, those five grading categories: cost, diversification, risk, tax efficiency, and performance. 1 year performance is unsatisfactory and will probably be significantly less than a basket of index ETFs that match up with the asset mix of that portfolio. And any portfolio that scores a D will require major and radical modifications. Now, the last up is the absolute worst, an F grade, which is completely unsatisfactory, poorly designed, major flaws in all the grading categories, one-year performance significantly less compared to the benchmark. And so an F portfolio will require radical modifications, probably complete overhaul, maybe even a complete salvage. So though that's an explanation of the portfolio report card system. And that does it for another episode of the Index Investing Show. Join us again next week, same time, same station. And until we meet again, may the market indexes be with you.
The opinions expressed in this broadcast are not necessarily that of our advertisers, sponsors, or broadcast partners. The discussion of investing is general and should not be construed as investment advice or an offer to buy or sell securities. Listeners are responsible for their own investment decisions and results. Before investing in mutual funds or ETFs, always consult a prospectus for risk, charges, expenses, and other information. Read the prospectus carefully before investing. Past performance is not indicative of future results. No reproduction or dissemination of the Index Investing Show is permitted without the expressed written consent of its producers.